The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, February 6th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the engaged one, a.k.a. the verified one, a.k.a. the second best Maple Leaf in San Francisco, at Tim Geddes.
But Tim Austin.
I got to keep you guessing. What was it? The other day on one of the shows, we came up with a new one for you. I forget what it was, though. It was some other stupid thing.
I don't know. I'm sure it was very offensive to me and not nice at all.
Well, not here? What's kind of funny in us?
Oh, what a thought.
How you doing? How was your weekend?
Oh, my God. It was good. Not as good as it could have been because I had to wake up early both days for different reasons.
Well, you got to. I only know one of them.
Uh-huh.
You had to take Cool Greg to run another marathon.
I did, and he crushed it. So congratulations to him. That was fantastic. But yeah, and then I went to a baby shower, so that was...
How early was this baby shower?
It wasn't that early, but I to get ready for it, to do a whole bunch of things, you know, errands and to-dos and all that stuff. But yeah, the baby shower was cool. They played there was live music.
Oh.
They played one of my favorite songs ever.
Macarena.
Yeah, right now I'm blanking on the name.
Macarena.
No, the girl from Ipanema.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's right. That's...
I think that's it is.
I think it's the girl from Ipanema, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Love that song.
Okay, wow. I would never seen that coming from
it's
you.
It's a great song.
It's a great song. I didn't expect that to be what you were...
No matter how many times I hear that song, no matter how many versions, and I feel like it's like Skyrim, that song.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure,
Every single person has a version of that song.
Sure, of course, yeah.
And every single one's good.
Okay, good. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
How was your weekend?
It was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We went to bed, I think, at 9:30 both Saturday and Sunday.
Congrats.
And goddamn, was that amazing.
Yeah.
Was that needed?
Mm-hmm.
That was incredible.
I did not.
Yeah.
Because I started watching Succession and I won't stop, Greg.
Sure, we were staying up real late.
What
season are we in for Succession
right now? Still season one. We're only six episodes in.
Bing.
But it's real good. Everyone
you have such a ride in front of you. I'm so excited for you.
Everyone's told me for years now, Tim, you got to watch this. You're going to love it. And I knew I was going to, but I didn't expect to love it this much. Like, one episode in, I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck all these people.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you get to hate for a reason as you watch them go through. I can't wait for the new season. I want to do a rewatch, too.
Yeah.
And try to, have that be, the nightly show rather than, what are we going to watch?
Exactly.
Watch something we don't want to watch.
That's what we've been doing. I talk about this a lot now, but me and G came up with a really good balance of watching stuff where we watch one serious show, reality show, and then a cartoon of my choice.
Every night?
Well, that's the cadence. So usually, most nights I would say we end up doing at least one cycle of that.
Okay.
But there are nights that we do multiple cycles, and that's when we get crazy, guys.
Man,
but
yeah, you guys get loose.
There's nights
nuts.
We miss it too. But that is our cadence that kind of keeps us honest and makes us feel like we're not completely wasting our lives.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah,
we're wasting each other's lives in different ways.
Sure, that's
with the reality show and the fact that we're
watching. Yeah, but the reality show, sometimes that's just needed, that comfort junk food.
Oh, it's
comfort
more needed than anything. I will not.
You watch Love is Blind, right?
You
watch
Love is Blind. No, that's the one that I don't watch.
You're an idiot.
That's the one I don't watch.
I hate you so much.
I don't like it.
But it's that thing where at a Royal Rumble, it was me, my friend's two kids, and my friend, and then two empty seats from her was one of the dudes from Love is Blind.
Oh, shit.
And I didn't mention it to her because I was like, I recognize him. And I texted Jen immediately. She's like, oh my God. She's like, which one? I'm like, babe, we've watched three seasons or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
G would have lost her mind.
And so then, we got back to the hotel that night and, tucked the kids in or whatever, and we were talking, and she's like, also, was that a Love is... I'm like, you watched that show? And she knew everybody. She knew everybody's name.
Yeah,
and for me, it's totally that thing of, I'll watch the reality shows, and they are junk food, and they are, they're enjoyable in the moment, and then I forget everything that happened. I don't even... You know what I mean?
Couldn't be me.
You're doing The Bachelor and doing all the stuff. Yeah.
I went to a live podcast last weekend about The Bachelor. Will you accept this rose?
How was it?
It was really good.
Yeah.
Doug Benson was on it.
Oh, high with Doug Benson? Or
mm-hmm.
High with Doug
mm-hmm.
Benson? Or
he was really
this guy
high.
Does drugs. That's what it is.
Yeah, he did drugs.
Was he high on this one?
I seemed it.
Damn.
It was great.
You know what I mean?
Real funny.
Fell off the wagon.
Yeah.
Enough about that, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk instead about the Hogwarts Legacy Review Roundup, Assassin's Creed winning a Grammy, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show for free about the day's news over at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. If you want to go and support us, we'll go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can get each and every episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily ad-free. You can get it with a whole bunch of bevy of exclusive content all on Patreon, dozens and dozens of episodes. You got the D&D. Kind of Beauty. You got the shit list. Mm-hmm. You got Daily Gregways. Mike just did one last week. It was great from what I hear. I don't know. I didn't actually read it. I was busy. Yeah. I was busy on Friday.
Uh-huh. Mike was very proud of it. Very excited for it.
Good. I'm proud of Mike.
Yeah, me too.
Of course, you could also get merch and all sorts of stuff. It's all on patreon.com/kindoffunny. You could get the ability to watch us record the Kind of Funny podcast live this afternoon without any ads. But I digress. If you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can watch us record each and every episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames each and every weekday morning. Of course, you'll get the ads. You won't get the bonus stuff. You won't be able to watch the other podcasts live, but those are all benefits of Patreon. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, listening on podcast services around the globe. Of course, you see it on your screen right there. If you're going to use the Epic Game Store, use the creator code kindoffunny, and that includes if you're playing on your PlayStation, Xbox, Fortnite, Rocket League, Rumbleverse. Rest in peace.
R.I.P.
Kind of Funny. That's what we need for you. Housekeeping for you. A new episode of The Last of Us HBO episode breakdown is up right now. You can see me, Tim, and Blessing talk all about episode 4 of The Last of Us on youtube.com/kindoffunny. And of course, podcast services as the Kind of Funny screencast.
Mm-hmm.
Ant-Man and the Wasp in review rewatch is up right now. It features Eric Voss from New Rockstars. That's youtube.com/kindoffunny and the in review podcast feeds as we get ready for Quantumania.
Yeah, and real quick, I was on an episode of Inside Marvel on New Rockstars last week with Eric and Jessica Clemens. So you should check that out too. Leave some nice comments.
Is he local?
He is. He's from SF, which is really, really well. He lives here now. From Florida.
Oh, here we go. It's gonna be one of these things again, you know.
He's from Florida, then he moved to LA.
If you're 16 years, you're still not from SF, you can't fucking claim it.
What can I say?
Yeah, you have a kid, he can be
there's
from
facts
SF,
out here.
It depends on like what age did you move out here, you know. I was in middle school, you know, so
I feel you're like from Cleveland.
Yeah,
he's from Cleveland.
Thank you to our Patreon producer Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Shady Rays, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Five items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one, Hogwarts Legacy reviews are up and we have your roundup. Your Metacritic and OpenCritic at the time of writing are both set at 86. Over at IGN.com, Travis Northup wrote, it's a 9 out of 10. In nearly every way, Hogwarts Legacy is the Harry Potter RPG I've always wanted to play. Its open-world adventure captures all the excitement and wonder of the wizarding world with its memorable new characters, challenging and nuanced combat, and a wonderfully executed Hogwarts student fantasy that kept me glued to my controller for dozens of hours. It's certainly weighed down by technical issues, a lackluster main story, and some poor enemy variety, but even those couldn't come close to breaking its enchanting spell over me. Josh West at Games Radar gave it a 3.5 out of 5 and said, Hogwarts Legacy is a solid first attempt. If Avalanche can be accused of anything, it's that the studio has tried to do too much all at once. Something was always going to give. Between the massive open world, the messy RPG economy, exciting action combat, an adventure story that wants to cast you as a hero with homework due on Monday. And then, Oi Governor, Keza McDonald at The Guardian gave it 3 out of 5 stars. Keza wrote, Hogwarts Legacy derives its magic from its setting, not from its game design, which is competent but unspectacular. Battling with spells is thrilling for the first few hours, then incredibly fiddly to control as you accumulate more enchantments to slot into swappable skill wheels. It has a bunch of weird quirks that are straight out of the 2010s. When you arrive at the wrong time of day for a quest, your young witch slash wizard simply lies down on the floor to pass the time. You collect new marginally better cloaks and scarves and glasses all the time that must constantly be swapped in inventory screens and make your character look ridiculous. Every time you find a new hamlet or building, the first thing you do is steal everything in it. There are elaborate crafting and enchantment features that I barely used. Hogwarts Legacy starts to feel like countless open-world games of the past decade once you've been playing it for more than 15 hours. However, you get to ride a hippogriff. It's those magical moments and the setting that rescue it from mediocrity, but only if the wizarding world still has you under its spell. Timothy.
I can't help but really laugh at it. It has a bunch of weird quirks that are straight out of the 2010s. When you arrive at the wrong time of day for a quest, your young witcher wizard simply lies down on the floor to pass the time. What does that look like? Like, what's this even a reference to? It had weird quirks out of the 2010s. I don't remember that from 2010 games. Maybe
I remember old games having stupid things like that, where it just doesn't make any sense why you would do this, but that's what you do.
Pokemon
right
there. Gold and Silver, man.
Exactly.
Time of day shit was ridiculous. But that, I'm just laying down. That's really funny to me.
Now, Tim,
mm-hmm.
We can talk about the reviews, and we will. But of course, this wouldn't be Hogwarts Legacy and the build-up to Hogwarts Legacy if there wasn't drama surrounding it. Of course, as people have been excited for this game, as more has been brought up about this game, the conversation has constantly come back to, in some regards, on most places, hey, also, J.K. Rowling sucks and is a transphobe. We've talked about that many a time when we talk about Hogwarts Legacy. And we will continue to talk about how that's not cool and that trans lives matter. However, this review embargo pops today. Hip, hip, hooray. Okay, fine. The reviews are out. But if you've been looking around, not everyone's reviewing it. Ethan Gosch from Kotaku put this out today on Twitter. Honestly, it's refreshing to see publishers so brazenly play favorites as they try to engineer positive coverage. What does he mean? And again, this is just looking around the internet. I do not work at these websites, and I have not talked to people at these websites.
Some of them you do.
Well, yeah, but I mean about this thing.
Yeah, gotcha.
Currently, there are no reviews from GameSpot, Game Informer, Kotaku, Polygon, Kinda Funny, and then even SkillUp, who tweeted, "No Hogwarts review for me tonight as I did not receive a code. Not going to go back and review it post-embargo as February is packed and I'm working on other things." Gita Jackson, who, of course, used to work at Motherboard, Kotaku, she says here, Potter on Twitter, "Potter review embargo lifts today. A lot of outlets did not get a copy, including the one for which I am reviewing the game." And then, as I said at the top, I said, "We're going to talk to these. Haven't talked to people about this." Obviously, I've talked to people at Kinda Funny because we are Kinda Funny. We did not get a code pre-release for review of this game. One came in today at 6 a.m. That's 2 hours after the 4 a.m. embargo for review coverage. So you can read into it how you want. We'll talk about Kinda Funny and we'll speculate from there. I do think it's interesting if you go to GameSpot.com right now. Again, as I said, they don't have a review up. However, their second image bear, if you can show it on their homepage, is how to help trans people by donating to charity. And then their second little gumball is J.K. Rowling's anti-transgender stance in Hogwarts Legacy. That is a January 31st article being republished there or whatever. So, interesting to speak from the Kinda Funny perspective of it and what's going on here, right? Obviously, it's within PR's purview and job to give codes to who they feel, and we're not entitled to anything ever. I think, of course, this could be in the same way SkillUp. I don't know much about SkillUp. I mean, I know SkillUp from the internet, but I don't know coverage of Hogwarts Legacy. It could be very much that we're put into the influencer camp, where that happens to us quite a bit, where it's like, oh, are you guys press? Are you influencers? Well, press is getting codes on this day. Influencer getting codes on this day. Influencers usually get them more for a streaming thing when people wanted to go that way about it. But again, interesting that I'm not seeing reviews from GameSpot, Game Informer, Kotaku, Polygon, and where that would be. It would also be interesting for us, of course, that we had Gotham Knights code well in advance of the Gotham Knights thing, another game published by WB.
Yeah.
So to go back to it, of course, then is it just the fact that on shows we've talked about the fact that none of our reviewers are really into Harry Potter. This isn't a game we've been jazzed about. Is it the fact that we've been openly talking shit about J.K. Rowling sucking and that, you know, her trans views are horrible and something we don't agree with? Maybe. It's not, you know, whatever you want to go into on that or whatever you want to choose on it. I haven't seen any of these sites talk about what's going on. Obviously, Ethan Gotch does still work at Kotaku, so he'd be one there saying something about it. But they did play picky and choosy with it. And I was having a conversation last night with someone about this and the fact that it was breaking. Oh, like, review embargo's up. And then when I was like, huh. That's interesting because I was told we're getting code on Monday and they wouldn't confirm when the review embargo is. Okay. And again, that's PR's job.
Doesn't make it not bullshit though.
It doesn't make it not bullshit. But this was the conversation I was having last night. And to be clear, we'll get to what is clear. And I think everybody knows me well enough or whatever. But what I thought was interesting about it was the idea that for so many people, this is maybe not their first time, but the latest example of PR in video game marketing is not about servicing the audience. It is not about servicing the people who want to know if this PR and marketing is about selling the video game. And so, again, that's why PR and marketing, well within their prerogative and job view and mission statement to go, okay, well, these sites have said they don't care about the game and or they've been very vocal about trans rights. So don't give them a code because we won't do it. What?
That's just, like, when you put it that way, Greg, goddamn. Like, they've been vocal about trans rights. Like, that is, like, so bad.
Fucked up.
And
yeah.
I mean, it's that thing where it's that immediately, like, when you put it that way, it like, fuck everything that we're talking about. Fuck PR and marketing for the games and stuff. Like, that is just, like, you should rethink your life if those are the decisions that you're making. If, oh, they've talked shit about it because of those decisions, that's, I think, personally, completely different story. But
yeah.
The fact that a site might, yeah. Like, that's ridiculous. And I think that you're not wrong there. And I think that that is the most unfortunate part about this very unfortunate situation. This all goes back to fuck J.K. Rowling. Fuck those views. Everything else from there, I think, kind of gets a lot more muddied and complicated.
Sure.
But there are certain things that I just think there's not an opinion on it. It's just fact. Trans lives matter. That is a fact. And if you don't agree with that, that's when things get real damn messy.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, it is either they talk shit about the game or they the support trans rights. And that's what, it's a weird mashup of what it would be, how it'd be. Again, maybe it is the influencer press bucket thing. It is a million different things. There's no real thing. But the problem is that it's so messy because you can't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why people did this or why they did that. But that's where it's at today for reviews. The reviews are up, and the reviews that are up are mostly positive, which leads us to a question from nanobiologists. You know him. You love him. Nano writes in and says, hey, y'all. Hogwarts Legacy reviews are in, and why is the game getting such high review scores when each review sounds so meh on the game itself? Is it an issue itself with review scores or mega fans of a series reviewing the game? Take out the quote, I've always dreamed of exploring a world like this factor, and the game sounds very okay. Or, like Games Radar puts it, quote, a good first attempt that is too ambitious, end quote. Or, am I just misreading these reviews? Nanobiologist.
You know, it's layered, it's complicated. It also sounds like, Nano, you have your head wrapped around the reality of it here, where, yeah, like, these reviews, like, what we just said is GameSpot, Game Informer, Kotaku, Polygon have not reviewed the game.
As of published, I could not find those reviews.
Yeah, and those are some of the biggest reviews that really influence the Metacritic, and those are sites that I know for a fact are not coming at reviews from a fanboy perspective. They are coming from it from a very critical games media perspective. I do think that a lot of the reviews might be that we're seeing are going to be biased towards being fans of the thing. That's just how that works. I don't even think that that's a bad thing. That's the point of all this. You get reviews from different points of view. There's going to be a ton of people that are super hardcore fans, but then there's also going to be the video game reviewer perspective that is kind of a little bit more broad and comparing it potentially to other similar titles, whereas the review, some people are doing it as a Harry Potter game, you know, and I think that that's a very valid criticism and something that people are going to want to know and potentially want to have a breadth of different takes on the same thing, because if they're interested in it. I imagine that if people continue to review this game, I think that the score is going to go down. Mm. And I think it's because, yeah, from what we're seeing, even like you could have pulled from other reviews as well. But what we have right here, or bless whoever did this.
Busted.
We have the 9 out of 10 from IGN. I mean, that's big. You know,
yeah,
going against what I was just saying. Like, that is a – that IGN
Yeah, this
is,
isn't to jump in. And this isn't just like small sites that we're doing. No, IGN's there. I'll open up the Metacritic. There's a bunch of like the major sites you'd expect are there.
Exactly.
It's just weird that some of them aren't.
But so IGN giving it a 9, but then GamesRadar, Guardian, even like 3.5. That to me, I think is we'll get more of those reviews if others start to come forward.
Sure.
I think that's going to bring the score down just a bit. But I don't think that the words don't necessarily back up the scores being given. And this is something we always talk about on our own content and just with reviews in general. Like I can see the hesitation somewhat of why. Like, it sounds like there's a lot of like nitpicking and issues, but I also just think that like they seem to be not be that big of a deal, or they're reflected in a 3 out of 5.
Yeah. It's Nano thing and jumping in and looking at that stuff. And I think then bringing us into a question, and the chat is fired up today, as you'd expect, right? I look at the live chat for YouTube and Twitch. inside of this ecosystem of comments here was years ago, but in, you know, probably 5 minutes ago, somebody went by trying to take a shot at us and be like, well, it sounds like how IGN reviewed Horizon Forbidden West, or I'm sorry, how Kind of Funny sounded when they reviewed Horizon Forbidden West. That sounded like a 2 out of 5 or 2 out of 10, and you guys gave it a 3 out of 4 out of 5, whatever we gave it. 5 out of 5, 4 out of 5, I don't remember, but we love the game, right?
Yeah.
It's the idea that when you critique something and write about something, I think it's so easy to be like, yo, here are the problems that came up, the weird thing of sleeping on the ground, this thing and the other. But if you're lost in the world, if you're lost in the adventure, you know, again, like I haven't read every review and I have not played the game. So why did they read meh, but they're not? I mean, it's the idea that, no pun intended, there's a magic to this if you're a Harry Potter fan.
Totally.
And I think that, like, you know, you're talking about, like, maybe you get into the outlets that have the biggest Harry Potter fans or something like that. Like, inevitably, that's what's going to happen. You know, when I reviewed Ghostbusters for IGN, it was because I'm a Ghostbusters fan. That's the kind of person who's going to be drawn to this IP. And it's the same reason why none of us were really drawn to this. You know, none of us are the biggest, and none of the reviewers are the biggest Harry Potter fans, where it's like, oh man, this is, I've never dreamed of this, right? Like, this isn't my kind, what I want out of this kind of game experience. And so I feel like if you're going into that, the things that when you're doing your review, you're like, yo, as Keza puts out, and Keza, you know, a video game reviewer and friend of the show and somebody I trust and have known for years since IGN, right? When Keza's going through and being like, yo, this sucks and that sucks, blah, 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 but you ride a hippogriff, right? Like, however, like that's a great sentence. However, you get to ride a hippogriff, period.
And that says something, right? Yeah. And like, yeah, that to me, like with what you're saying, I do think the difference between our reviews and this is that our reviews are a conversation and they're not like the written down specific, like, we were trying to make our points perfectly. It is more of a conversation. But I do think that there is a very important similarity between how we do stuff, especially with our numbered scale, and how these written reviews with their numbered scale are, as long as the writer writes it and believes in the score they're giving, like, that is the end-all be-all. They're telling you it's a 4. You need to read the words with the framing that it is a 4 or a 5 or a 9 or whatever the hell it is. It's like they're the ones that are trying to express their opinion to you. You don't get an opinion on their opinion. You do, sure, fine. But, like, it doesn't change what they're trying to get across to you here. So it's like, yeah, reading through this, it's like, it can't just be like, oh, complaint, complaint, complaint. Or it's complaints that are trying to frame the reality of, hey, there's issues here, but I really enjoyed this and this. Yeah, it's like, and like, you know, me and Bless talk about all this all the time with like the Pokemon Scarlet and Violet or Frontiers or things like that, or Final Fantasy Crisis Core. This, I do think, is a very similar situation where mileage will vary.
What do you how much do you care about Harry Potter and how much you want to be it? You know what I mean? Like, when I read what we've read here about this, I'm like, yeah, as a non-Harry Potter fan, this doesn't sound like an open world game I'd want to go invest a bunch of hours in, but that's just because I've never dreamed of attending Hogwarts. That's never been what I want to go do with my free time.
Yeah.
So yeah. Those are your Harry Potter reviews. Well, not Harry Potter, Hogwarts Legacy reviews. Of course, Trans Lives Matter. Remember that? And we'll see how it continues to go. Yeah, the Metacritic, as we were talking there, you're saying you think it'll come down. It is... Wait, I screwed that up? I screwed it up. Forget it. I thought it had already dropped, but it's still where it was. 86, everybody, as of right now in recording this. RDJ, Greg not wanting to play a game where you attend school? I'm never going back. That's going to be the hardest thing about having Ben.
Yeah.
I mean, school's cool, I guess. Yeah, you know?
God.
Go there, have fun, I guess.
Figure it out.
I don't know. Number 2 on the Roper Report. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Dawn of Ragnarok has won a Grammy. This is Adam Bankhurst at IGN.com. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Dawn of Ragnarok and its composer, Stephanie Ukukumono, have won the first Grammy Award for Best Score Soundtrack for Video Games and Other Interactive Media. The first award for the video game music category comes at the 65th annual Grammys, and Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Dawn of Ragnarok, and the composer won over a whole bunch of different... They won over Austin Wintory and Aliens Fireteam Elite, Bear McCreary and Call of Duty Vanguard, Richard Jacques and Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, and Christopher Tin and Old World. Quote, I just want to recognize all of the people who fought tirelessly to bring this category of video game music into existence, Okonomou said after she accepted the Grammy. Thank you for acknowledging and validating the power of game music. This is truly such an honor. Thank you, end quote. While this was the first time the best score soundtrack for video games and other interactive media category was included in the Grammys, it isn't the first time the video... It isn't the first time a video game has been nominated and won. In 2011, Christopher Tin's Baba Yedu was the first song to be nominated and win a Grammy, and it did so in the category of Best Arrangement, Instruments, and Vocals. In 2012, Austin Wintry and Journey were nominated for the Grammy for Best Score Soundtrack for Visual Media, but lost out to Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross's work on The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Now, obviously winning is the best, but it would be pretty cool to lose to Trent Reznor.
Oh, yeah.
And The Girl
yeah.
with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Can I
sure.
show you guys the clip that was going around yesterday?
Yeah, they mispronounced the game, right?
And the Grammy goes to... Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
I feel for him, bro.
As somebody who fucks up a name, three or four names at least every game's daily, I ain't gonna knock him. I ain't gonna make fun of him. It sucks. You're up there. Like,
I don't know, still
you would have hoped. You would have, like, again, to give myself credit, I'm coming in fucking, it's black and white, and I'm trying to read a word I've never seen before, mm-hmm. right? He was backstage when they were like, the nominees are Assassin's Creed Valhalla, blah, blah, blah.
He had a bunch of video game ass titles, though. I'm sure
Valhalla,
he got the easy
Valhalla,
one. Yeah,
Valhalla.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but you get in your head. You know what I mean?
I hear you. Oh,
he even heard it as he was saying Assassin's
Creed. You see
Creed?
Him, like, he winces.
He's like,
oh,
fuck,
like,
I'm already
yeah,
there.
Sucks,
no, I get
man.
It, dude.
It
I feel for you, bro.
There, man. Feel for you.
But, hey, first off, shout out to Christopher Tin, who was the first one to get this for Baba Yetu, and I've seen him perform that song. He composed it.
What's it from?
Orchestrated live, Civilization 4.
Gotcha.
I've seen him do it multiple times, and it's fucking amazing. Love that this is a category at the Grammys. I love that games music is getting more love than ever. Well deserved. Definitely an interesting call with Assassin's Creed. I wouldn't necessarily associate that with
Assassin's Creed.
The more modern ones specifically. With like having iconic soundtracks or anything, but I do think it's important to note that just because I don't doesn't mean that they're not amazing. Like when we talk about these big AAA scale games, like their soundtracks are insanely orchestrated. Like there are so many people involved in the scores, and we just kind of write it off because it's similar to movies.
Sure.
I feel like we often praise a lot of the more quote unquote video game sounding soundtracks, like the more retro style chiptune-y or anything
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or like just the dedicated theme songs that are memorable, like things like Halo or stuff like that. But Assassin's Creed overall, it's like, yo, there's so much music in those games, and the quality level is so high that shout out to them for getting
respect. It's what I always go back to, right? And you know, you've known me a long time and know that I know what I'm good at and what I'm bad at. And I'm not traditionally good at thinking about music and thinking about a score unless it's either really good or really bad. And Valhalla is one of those games that I'm playing. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it swells as we're doing something. Like, oh, yeah, we're getting, like it amplifies the experience. It makes it better.
Hell yeah, man.
I thought you'd have more for me on
no,
that.
I don't.
Drink my coffee.
I don't.
My apologies.
Shout
out
to Grammys doing their
shout out to the Grammys
video game
guy luck. Who screwed it up. I'm sorry, man. I've been there. It sucks. You know? Plus, he's up there. He's nervous. Probably not a public speaker guy.
Yeah.
Sucks. Anyways, watch the Dice Awards. Me and Stella fuck something up for you. Number three. And Gary's there. Gary's presenting an award. You think
Gary
that guy's
is?
Not going to fuck something up? Yeah.
That's great.
Is he going to do it in his sweatpants? We'll find out.
I hope so.
Number three on the Rup Report. Dragon Age Dreadwolf gameplay leaks showing God of War style combat. Sign me up! This is Andy Robinson at VGC. Dragon Age Dreadwolf gameplay has leaked online, offering the first look at BioWare's RPG sequel in action. An anonymous Reddit user shared the early footage on Saturday, claiming that it was captured by a playtester with access to an early alpha build of the game. While the user did not share the entire gameplay video, they did publish screen captures and a description of what it allegedly shows. Quote, "It's about 20 minutes of gameplay involving one segment slash dungeon," they wrote. "The entire gameplay is set within the Grey Warden Fortress HQ of Whistlehop. The player character is an elvish knight class." The character screen actually says they are a mid-level Grey Warden, and they've got a sword and shield. They also have two party members, another knight dude, and a female dwarf rogue. They added, "Combat is completely in real time and similar to hack and slash. I'm told the guiding reference point was God of War 2018, and that shows," end quote. Last October, BioWare general manager Gary McKay stated that Dreadwolf had reached alpha status and was playable, quote, "from the opening scenes of the first mission to the very end," end quote. McKay went on to explain that the team is now focusing on the game's pacing, the various relationships that players can have with other characters, as well as narrative cohesion.
This sounds like the Andy Cortez dream. You know, he always loves those Dragon Age games, but he always loves active combat, man. A little dodge, a parry, all that stuff. Yeah, yeah. This just sounds like the dream for him. Obviously, getting God of War style, it's exciting for you.
Yeah, I've always, from afar, appreciated Dragon Age, its fandom, the stories it tells. But, you know, it's hard for me usually to get into the whole, like, knights and orcs kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then definitely the combat of Dragon Age wasn't my jam. So this does make me infinitely more excited. And then if, you know, again, you assume BioWare is trying to return to being BioWare. Like, hey, we are fucking BioWare. We tell awesome stories. If that's going to be in here, layered in with God of War combat, I can see myself super getting into it in the same way Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning back in the day, and then Re-Reckoning more recently, you know, always captured my heart because it was so much fun to play.
Yeah, totally. I'm not a Dragon Age guy, but God of War style combat definitely gives it way more of a likelihood of I'll give this thing a shot.
It's true that you hate dragons, right?
I hate dragons, yeah. Actually. Sure. Wolves, I'm a little bit okay with, but you add some dread to that, and I'm in, dude. Metroid Dread, what a fucking video game that was. I want more. But yeah, this could be cool. We've been talking a lot about EA and that they are on this really nice kind of rise up right now the last couple of years, and I hope this continues it. When you look at Mass Effect Andromeda, that felt like them kind of making a misstep with one of their bigger
IPs
from like a specific era. I think Dragon Age is that as well. And I feel like this is all eyes on this one, right? And I think the good news is we don't expect it to be bad. I think that we expect that this has a higher chance of being good than fucking things up. But I also think that it might hit that point of we've talked about Dragon Age Dreadwolf for so long that it doesn't really feel like it's real. You know what I mean?
It's probably my own, like, oh, that's a franchise I don't care about. I don't feel like we've talked it to death yet. We've talked about, oh, the leak and the thing and then the confirmation, but I don't feel like it's been beaten to death in the streets over and over again. But I'm sure by the time it actually comes out, a different story.
Yeah, it's not so much beaten to death. More like this reminds me of Suicide Squad a bit, where it's like we've heard about it enough to not know more.
Okay.
You know, it's like there's been little bits here and there, but like that's the thing is like we're talking about leaks, which is the difference. I guess Suicide Squad's leaks as well. Yeah, we'll see.
We will see. But speaking of EA on the rise, number 4 on the Roper Report, Star Wars Jedi Survivor adds much requested fast travel feature. This is Ryan Dinsdale at IGN.com. EA's Respawn Entertainment has listened to fan feedback and added the much requested fast travel feature to its upcoming Star Wars Jedi Survivor. As reported by Games Radar, Stig, the director, told Play Magazine that Respawn is implementing more ways to travel around Jedi Survivor's worlds by including both fast travel and rideable mounts. The lack of fast travel in the original Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order caused frustration for many fans in the game that was otherwise well-received. Players were encouraged to travel back and explore different areas, but without being able to immediately teleport between these locations, were forced to essentially start from the beginning of each world before they could do so. Quote, we will feature both fast travel and rideable creatures to help players quickly get from point A to B and back to A, Stig said. The fast travel is point to point, and the rideable creatures offer a way to quickly negotiate between points and explore what is in between, end quote. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, dude. Love this. That definitely was an issue that I had in the first game, both just playing through it the first time, and even the idea of wanting to go back and get collectibles and stuff.
Sure, like, yeah. Platinum, for me, the map was so maddening that, yeah, you can fast travel between points in the level. That'll be nice.
You went to Platinum, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've officially given up on the Platinum twice because I finished a replay. I tried Platinuming it on the PS4 and gave up with the whole map trophy, and then finished a replay over the weekend, and I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll dedicate some time. And then I got through all of the first planet that I'm blanking on, Bogano. And I did all of that, and I was like, I don't want to do that 4 more times on 4 other different planets, especially with Zepho and how big that planet is.
Sure.
Oh, God. No.
That's why I'm a bigger Star Wars fan than you.
Damn.
That's what they all say.
I got two
That's
platinums.
What they all say.
Two plots.
Greg Miller, the biggest Star Wars fan.
Not the biggest, all right? Nobody's going to – if I say that, Anthony Carboni's going to cry. Oh!
I'm Carboni!
He's just the worst.
He is the fucking worst. I fucking hate him. He's out there. He's about to host the red carpet for Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. What a sucker. You know what I mean?
Everybody boycott it. No, support Carboni. We love
support
him.
Support Carboni. I love that
This inspires hope in me, Tim. It's one of the things we've talked about with this game of, man – the first one was so good, I hope they do it. And I forget what show we were on recently talking about it, and somebody said to the effect of, like, they know what they got wrong, And so hopefully they'll make sure they don't get that stuff. And like the idea they're adding this kind of stuff in there, I can't wait. Like I can't wait.
Yeah, totally. I do have a fear that they're going to go a little too big, because I think that what I personally enjoyed most about Fallen Order was the kind of dungeon vibe that it had, where it almost felt like as much of a Zelda as it did a third person action game that for equal genres there.
Sure.
But I'm a little concerned if there's rideable mounts, like how are they going to go super big on that stuff? Cause like I can see that being some of the stuff I liked least from the first game. Like the bigger planets were the ones I was like, I don't like this as much. Even Dathomir, I think, was like a little too mazy for my taste for like how big it could be. And like, I don't know that fast travel or mounts are going to solve those issues. But I will see.
We will see, ladies and gentlemen. Right around the corner, even though it got delayed, but still very close. Mm-hmm. What is it, April 28th now? Is that right, Barrett?
That sounds right.
Day after my birthday. That's how I remember. Biggest Star Wars fan. Yeah. Biggest Star Wars fan between me and Barrett.
Oh, shit. Got me.
Number five on the five and final on the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen, right? Yeah. Guess what? The Last Case of Benedict Fox has gotten a release date. We go to Calobril Twitter. Release date. The Last Case of Benedict Fox is launching exclusively on Xbox and PC on April 27th, Greg's birthday. Day one with Xbox Game Pass. Now, you put this in and said yes.
Hell yeah.
I don't know what this is. What is this?
Oh, dude. The Last Case of Benedict Fox is a super dope game that I first saw at the Xbox showcase last year at E3. Super cool art style. It looks to be a Metroidvania, like... style game, kind of mixed in the Artful Escape art style a little bit, but darker.
Okay.
But yeah, it seems to be more gameplay focused of the Metroidvania style, and it just looks cool as shit.
Okay.
Definitely some Ori vibes in there as well. So really excited for this one, and I have high hopes.
Damn, you get tattoos? That's neat.
That's how you get your abilities, Greg.
Oh my god, I love abilities.
Look at the colors, man.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, I remember this looks dope.
When this trailer popped up last year, like I remember you and I like really popping off for this one.
It just looks great. Yeah. And I love, you know, this is the power of what Xbox has been doing.
There was a teeth there. That was gross.
Yeah, it was nasty, nasty stuff.
Huh.
Fuck, this looks cool.
April 27th. All right.
Yeah. God, it's going to be a big month, man.
The great news is since it's on Xbox Game Pass, you can spend money on me for my birthday gift.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, speaking of spending money, wouldn't you love to spend money on Patreon.com/KindaFunny? Over on Patreon.com/KindaFunny, of course, you could watch us record the Kind of Funny podcast this afternoon live and without any ads. You could get dozens and dozens of exclusive programming each and every month, and you could get each and every episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily ad-free. But guess what, Jack? You're not on Patreon.com/KindaFunny. So here's a word from our sponsor.
Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Look how cool I look. You too can look this cool. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and so much more. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. They'll also provide 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every order, and have donated over 20 million meals to date. That's fantastic. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. Exclusively for y'all listeners and watchers right now, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the new year. You can go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDAFUNNY for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself. These are 5-star rated by over 200,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com. Use the code KINDAFUNNY. Shout out to Honey for sponsoring this episode. Honey is the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. And thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. And we all know there's nothing better than the feeling of saving money. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. When you check out, the Honey button appears and all you have to do is click apply coupons. You wait a few seconds, you see the fun little dancing guy. Honey searches for coupons and it finds you the best ones, and then you just watch the prices drop. We here at Kind of Funny have been using Honey for years, and it's helped us save thousands on tech, costumes, food, you name it. Honestly, I just love how easy it is to just set and forget and save. That's the best part. Honey doesn't just work on desktops, it works on your phone too. You just activate it on Safari on your phone, you save on the go. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. You can get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. That's joinhoney.com/kindoffunny.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing is directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Tim, I wore my Shady Rays to work today when I drove because it gets so shiny out there on the roads.
Yeah,
and I'm excited to wear them again tomorrow.
Tomorrow's
so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and pop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday. And today, me and Nick are wearing the same jacket. We're both going to be on Kinda Funny Podcast, and I'm very excited about that.
Yeah! Now, I don't know if it's the same. Yours is more of a lighter white. Get in, Nick, get in here. Take my mic and then explain the differences. But yeah, they sound the same.
These are completely different jackets. Unlike Greg's sweatshirt that Mike's wearing as well today.
So
if we can get Mike on the podcast today, we will look like quadruplets.
I like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know how that works. this is a completely different jacket.
Yeah.
I mean, very similar style.
The way Tim's is faded almost like looks more like shirt material than a jacket.
Yeah.
Mine is a classic denim jacket. But the more important thing, ladies and gentlemen, is we should wrap this show up ASAP because we are going into part three of my Dead Space playthrough. And I'm very, very
He's
excited
like the
about
fucking
that.
Grammys guy.
I didn't watch the Grammys. No one watched the Grammys. Bye.
Bye.
He's right. No one watched it. We just all tweeted about it.
I heard Blessing was tweeting about it. It went on like 9 hours or some shit.
Yeah, because I think there was like pre-awards that were given out before like the actual
Classic.
Show and stuff. Because I think it was like Viola Davis like got something to get her the EGOT or something, I think. Which was pretty cool, and then that was
yeah. Viola
like
Davis
1
got an EGOT.
Yeah,
cool. I you know what? I'll confess it. I don't know what an EGOT is. I don't know what it is.
It's EGOT? When you get an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony.
Okay, fair
isn't
enough.
That cool as shit?
That's cool, yeah.
Now that you know,
back. They call it the EGOTs now because the last one is a Streamy that we got to get. There it is.
I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
Denim Bros.
Denim Bros, baby.
Do
you like it? Do you hate it? What is it, Greg?
Oh, I like it a lot. No, I like it.
By the way, I need
this.
This
just leads to 9 months from now when we launch the Kinda Funny denim jacket. It's got the smiley on it.
I like denims and chains, everybody. Greg, I want to keep saying this on shows so that one day it becomes true.
Yeah.
Guess what this show is going to do?
I don't know.
Get an Emmy.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how, but we're going to make it happen. I've been Googling it.
Okay.
Oh, Nick's back.
Jesus Christ! You know this is what happens. You get ahead. You start ending the show like early, I'm like sorry. 10 minutes early, and Nick will just come out and he'll just ad lib.
I need everyone that's watching the show right now, at home or at work, to go retweet what I just tweeted, which is a quote tweet to I think it's Disgusting Film. A24 is making the Backrooms movie. And I want to get me, myself, and Andy in it, and I want Andy to be the first person to do it.
I saw that get deleted from the thing because it was some streamer they said that.
Oh, it's unfortunate. If they make a Backrooms movie, I want me, Andy, and some Mike Mike to get in it. Hashtag let Andy die first.
Wow. Hashtag let Andy die first. I love it. Make sure you intercap it, though.
Out today. Dicey Dungeons, PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5.
I'm excited for you to say this.
Your union will never fight alone on PC. The only people who are mad are people who love
GDRA.
Whatever.
Yggdra.
New dates for you. Everspace 2 is launching April 6th on PC. Remedium, Sentinels, is coming to PC via Early Access on the Epic Games Store and Steam February 28th. Respawn will introduce a team deathmatch mode to Apex Legends Season 16 Revelry when it launches February 14th. That's Valentine's Day. Bleak Sword is making its way to Nintendo Switch and PC soon with a demo on Steam now. And then Myst Mobile will launch on February 9th for iOS.
iOS, get in the game.
You're trying to like EA Sports it a bit there?
But it was just a little different, like a knockoff version like on the iOS stores.
That's fine. I'll take it. Mm-hmm. And then Myst Mobile will... No, I already said this. Sorry. And then deals of the day for you. Wario64 reports that Doki Doki Literature Club Plus Premium Physical Edition on PlayStation 4 is $13.58 on Amazon.
Wow.
It's a weird price point.
Yeah, what the hell?
Is that a, I never finished Doki Doki. Is that a reference to something, Barrett?
I mean, it's been years since I've played there. I don't...
1358 wasn't an important number in the Doki Doki Literature Club universe?
Maybe. I don't... It's been a while.
Hmm. Huh. Okay. Right there, instead of using "you're wrong," somebody says, links to a bloody disgusting article. Looks like the back room thing is actually rumored, but not confirmed. Again, I think the rumor stems from just some YouTube person. Mm. I only saw the chatter on KFGD while we were doing Last of Us. We were doing Last of Us. I saw it in the thing. I saw it get deleted. I saw Raj walk it back.
Mm.
Raj, if you're out there, I can explain what's getting walked back. Explain it to me. If you don't want to, Raj, you want to keep doing your job, I respect it.
Raj.
Is he?
I don't know.
Is he on the probation?
Yep.
Yeah.
Damn, how many strikes has he got?
Seven.
He's got a blue shirt on, too. It's not a jean. It's not a denim shirt, but it is a blue shirt. I would like to point that out. It is a blue shirt. I digress. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We have a required reading for you. That's right. This is actually from the PlayStation blog. MLB The Show is adding new storylines mode highlighting the history of the Negro Leagues. Again, this is the PlayStation blog. You can go to blog.playstation.com or wherever you get your PlayStation blog news. I digress. There's a video too, Barrett, if you want to toss it up. The Negro Leagues are an important part of baseball and American history, whose iconic figures are not nearly as well known as other baseball players from the era. We plan to use MLB The Show as a gateway to expose new generations of baseball fans to these historic figures and their stories of triumph over adversity. You might be asking yourself, how we'll accomplish such a daunting task? Enter Storylines, a new game mode in MLB The Show 23 focused on a particular player. Users will experience an entertaining narrative journey through short informational videos, followed by gameplay reflecting important moments in that player's career. Are they showing it? Because I want to see this. We could not be happier to finally introduce the Negro Leagues into MLB The Show. It's a special project for Sony San Diego, and we are grateful and appreciative to be partnering with the families of the players, the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, and NLBM President Bob Kendrick to bring these stories to life in a video game. The post continues, but you can read all about it on the PlayStation blog. And yeah, this is super cool.
Super freaking cool.
This reminds me of both... And I haven't seen what's being shown yet. I just, going off of what I read, it reminds me of a little bit of, not in the historical sense, but storylines of Longshot, of, you know, when Madden would be like, hey, or at college football would be like, hey, these games ended in a very specific way. Try to do what Madden did that too. Even the Rey Mysterio showcase from WWE, stuff like that.
And MLB The Show a couple of years ago, I think back in 2018 or 2019, did a play the most historical moments in MLB history. So it seems like it's something similar, but they want to, you know, give context and like add story and stuff like that. And, you know, talk a little bit more about the history rather than in that mode from a couple of years ago. It was like you played the moment. There was like a 30-second thing, like giving the context for something, and that was about it. And it's cool to see them go even further into that for this new mode.
It's really cool. Again, as somebody who doesn't play MLB The Show, like, this is something I could see me downloading off of Game Pass, go through, play a couple of these.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, this is really, really cool. Good for you guys.
Kansas City, what up? Kansas City, Missouri. Kansas City, Kansas, I would say something mean about you, but you won't see it because you don't have electricity. God. The crater that is Kansas.
Oh, my God. You know what I mean? We just, like, let's move on.
I'm upset.
You know what I mean?
You know?
What are you upset about, Greg?
No, I'm not. Well, I was going to mention something from The Last of Us.
Got it.
But I was like, you know what?
That's just, yeah.
Doesn't worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, go check out our screencast, though. Our breakdown.
We'll see it, everybody. We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and, of course, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames to keep us honest by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong to tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later. We only have one. It's from Boss Baby, who says, Tim's new title was New York Times published.
You're right.
That's what I was looking for. That, if I'm being honest, ladies and gentlemen, that's why. I was like...
Stop writing in with my monikers. Come up with your own monikers, motherfuckers.
Wow. Wow,
damn.
Look at that.
Damn.
We got a Boss Baby fight. Who's the real Boss Baby? Nobody knows.
He's the boss.
He is the boss. Speaking of the bosses, let's talk about your host for the rest of the week. Tuesday, it's going to be me and Blessing. Wednesday, Blessing and me. Thursday, Blessing and Tim. Friday, Tim and Blessing. If you are watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames or youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Guess what? Nick already told you, Dead Space is next. Mike, Andy, and Nick will continue Nick's playthrough as he tries to beat all these necromorphs to death.
I love it. And hey, you know, we're trying a lot of different stuff on the Kind of Funny streams that we do every day on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. One thing is we are live on both platforms. I know a lot of people know that, but there's a lot of people out there that don't realize that. So once we're off Games Daily, there is another video you can go to on YouTube that is the boys hanging out playing games. And in the last couple months, we've been trying different stuff. We're trying to continue doing different things, but doing full playthroughs of the game is something that we're really interested in. And just so y'all know, like, we're trying to commit to it, like, for Dead Space, like, we're trying to beat the whole game. So they're doing it live, but if you can't watch live, you can always watch the VOD of the streams later. And I think that a lot of people think that all the streams are just people hanging out and, like, not really, like, focusing. There's some level of that no matter what. But there's the VODs are, I think, really good content. So go back and check out some of the things that we've done recently. I know that James Burke doing the Last of Us speed run was super awesome, and you guys are showing up for that. I think that the video version of that is, like, almost at 30K. So go check that out as well. In addition to all the other things they're doing, I know they're playing through Elden Ring, and that looks like a blast. So
we also did, like, the GoldenEye stream like a week or two ago. That was really fun. Just fun stuff like that.
Yeah, we got a lot of fun stuff planned as well coming up. I know I'm trying to get the boys to play a cool game in a couple Fridays. I don't want to say anything yet, though.
What does that mean?
Just some teases, just some hints, Greg.
I guess next week we're doing something cool with me. Maybe Monday and Tuesday. I'll keep you posted when I can talk about
that. That is cool.
You know what I'm talking about?
That is really cool.
You know what I'm talking about on that. Yeah.
A never before seen type of cool.
Never? that might be drumming it up a bit much.
But it's true, though. You'll it's see true, you guess, on yeah. Monday.
Hold on. I want to look at something here.
What do you want to see?
Yeah.
What do you want to do?
I have breaking news for you.
Whoa.
The James Burke Last of Us thing is over 40. It's 41,000.
41,000
people wanted
41K
to see.
41K Club, baby.
41K Club.
If you want to see The Last of Us Part 1 beat in less than 3 hours, making my friend James Burke the top 3 Last of Us speedrunner in the world, you can go check it out on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
I took some of his tips, too, because I started a replay of Part 1 over the weekend to catch up with, like, where the show is at. And there are some parts where I was like, I'm just going to run through and do exactly what James did here. Just to skip through it.
Yeah, but the way he fights David, I was like, damn, I'm going to do that next.
Yeah, that was so cool.
That and beat David in 20 seconds, and then I don't have to be stressed out for like 10 minutes while I try to fight this man.
This man.
We got to, when it hits 48K, we got to get him a shirt.
Yes. Yes, we do. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. KindoFunny.com/KFGD. You know what the headlines are going to be. You see what Twitter's popping off about. Ask us questions. Chime in with your opinions. Be on the show. Of course, you can watch live on twitch.tv/KindoFunnyGames, youtube.com/KindoFunnyGames. You can watch later on youtube.com/KindoFunnyGames and podcast services around the globe. Of course, the best way to consume our content is patreon.com/KindoFunny. Over there, you can toss us a few bucks. Keep the lights and mics on. Of course, you get each and every episode of Games Daily ad-free. Of course, you can get us the ability to watch the podcast record ad-free unless they're embargoed like some of them are this week. And of course, you could get dozens and dozens of exclusive episodes of the show. If you want to support us for free, use the creator code KINDOFUNNY over on the Epic Game Store or Fortnite, Rocket League, wherever you can input it on, whatever device you can input it on. For now, like I said, streams are happening, podcast this afternoon. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
My hand's cold.